to be used. Rather pray to be usable. Well, sometimes, you know, we want to be used of God, but we don't think about the fact that maybe God wants us to be usable before we pray to be used. I think there's something in that. But how does one know whether or not one is usable? Gordon MacDonald says that we're like onions, many layers. And most of you know me a little bit, and you probably know Viv layer one and layer two. But, you know, there's a lot of layers beneath that that you don't know about. And some people know me a bit better, perhaps Viv 2-5 or something like that, I don't know. And others really close to me might know me a bit deeper, layers 6 and 7, where Gene knows 8-10. But there's layers even beneath that that only I know about. And then there's even layers beneath that about Viv 360 that only God knows about, that I don't know about. And God is committed to peeling the layers off us until we become, as we're predestined to be, conformed to the image of His dear Son. And I want to speak this morning about being vessels of honour. We've been ransomed by grace, and I'd like to talk to you about that. And I've got a PowerPoint to show you one or two things. And because really, you know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 21, it says, "Therefore, if anyone cleanses himself from these things, he will be a vessel for honor, sanctified, useful to the master, prepared for every good work." Now, I want to look at that a little bit today, but before I do that, I want to read a bit of scripture, 1 Peter 13, right through to 23. So we're going to start with these. "Therefore, prepare your minds." Now, wherever you see it in bold and underlined, I want you to remember that a little bit, because I want to touch a little bit on that as we go on. "Therefore, prepare your minds for action. Discipline yourselves. Set all your hope on the grace that Jesus Christ will bring you when he is revealed. Like obedient children, do not be conformed to the desires that you formerly had in ignorance. Instead, as he who called you is holy, be holy yourselves in all your conduct. For it is written, 'You shall be holy, for I am holy.' If you invoke as Father the one who judges all people impartially according to their deeds, live in reverent fear during the time of your exile. You know that you were ransomed. You were ransomed from the futile ways you inherited from your ancestors, not with perishable things like silver or gold, but you were ransomed with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or blemish. He was destined before the foundation of the world, but was revealed at the end of the ages for your sake. Through him, you have come to trust in God, who raised him from the dead and gave him glory, so that your faith and hope are set on God. Now that you have purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, so that you have genuine mutual love, love one another deeply from the heart. You have been born anew, not of perishable, but of imperishable seed, through the living and enduring Word of God." A lot in that. I know it's a long passage of scripture, and there's a lot of stuff in that, and I want to unpack it a bit this morning, because I think it'll be an encouragement to you. Because some of us struggle, don't we? Oh, Am I ever going to be usable? When you see the things that are inside of you, sometimes your attitude, sometimes your motivations, you kind of think, am I ever going to get any better? Am I ever going to be worthy to be called a vessel of honour? Well, I've got good news for you this morning. That's what the gospel is, isn't it? It's always good news. You know, I heard a story one time about a man who went into a junk shop, just an old junk shop, and he was looking for something particular. And as he's rooting through the stuff, he thinks he sees exactly what he's looking for. It's a bowl, and it's about 8 inches across. Someone had obviously used it for flowers at some time because it was filthy dirty. There's soil and debris on it and the remains of a few leaves. It also looked, as he examined it, it looked as though it had a crack running through it on one side. The owner of the shop had probably not bothered with it since it was covered up with all sorts of other junk and stuff piled on top of it. Anyway, the man carefully fishes the bowl out and, disguising his pleasure, you know, very nonchalantly, you know, he takes it to the till and he says, oh, what's this piece of junk here, he says, you know. He took it to the till and he bought it for just a few pence. Then, taking it home, he cleaned it up ever so very carefully. He'd spotted, as the shop owner obviously hadn't, he'd spotted that this was a very fine piece of porcelain. He could repair the crack, but equally importantly, he could gradually get the dirt and the soil out of its pattern and bring it up as good as new. Then when it was done, he put it in a place of honour where it was to hold 3 gorgeous ornamental eggs and show them off to perfect effect. Just what he'd wanted. Now, suppose the original owner of the bowl turned up at the shop the next day and asked for his bowl back since he wanted to use it again to plant some old bulbs in. Well, the shopkeeper might direct him to the new owner, but the new owner quite rightly would say that the bowl was no longer available. Not only had he bought, but had cleaned it inside and out and given it a whole new use for which it was really suited. It would be an insult to it, as well as an injustice, simply to hold a few flowers. And that little story is about us, really. Something that was used for rubbish and ignoble purposes, as the Bible calls it, we've been called to a new use. We've been called to be vessels of honour. That is, on that picture there, is a bowl that's been mended. I don't know if you can see the cracks in it. It's that Japanese word, however you pronounce it, kintsukuroi. It means to repair with gold. It's the art of repairing pottery with gold or silver lacquer and understanding that the piece is more beautiful for having been broken. You know, and for me, as my daughter showed me that after I told her about this, I'd been thinking about vessels of honour, you know, how we can be broken, how we can be wounded, how we can be dirty in so many ways. And yet God saw that and said, I want it. I'll repair it. I'll restore it. I'll redeem it. I'll use it for my purposes. And so here we are. The good news this morning, if you're thinking, oh, how on earth can I ever be good enough to be used of God? The good news is that we're like that bowl. You know, some of you know me now and you think, wow, this guy, you know, he travels about, he preaches. It wasn't always like that. I was a complete card-carrying, gold-plated, hardcore heathen. I lived for weekends when I could play football and get plastered. I hated to go to work. I was selfish. I was angry. My dad said I was the most balanced person he ever knew because I had a chip on both shoulders. The key word in the passage in verse 18 is ransomed. We've been ransomed. We've been bought back. We were sold into slavery to sin. We were owned elsewhere. But we've been ransomed. It means that we've been bought back like a dirty object in a junk shop. We had all of us been used for all kinds of purposes other than for those that we were made. Futile ways, it says in verse 18. We were used for futile ways. But now we've been bought back. We've been ransomed. We've been redeemed. God had come into the junk shop, but he didn't just pay a few pence for us. He didn't try and get us at the cheapest price he could possibly get. He paid the very highest price, the precious blood of Jesus, God's own Son. Peter's thinking here, as he makes clear in that passage, that he was thinking of the sacrificial lamb in the Bible, perhaps the lamb of Passover, making, or should I say, marking the moment when God brought back his people Israel from slavery, from abusive slavery. You know, sometimes we think we're in control of our lives. Sometimes we think we're doing what we want. But you ain't, you know. Bob Dylan, the great poet of the 60s, said, "You're going to serve somebody. Everybody serves somebody." And you know, very often we don't realize it, but we're serving somebody else. We don't realize. But all those 30 or 40 cigarettes I smoked today, all that drink that I consumed, I was serving somebody. I thought I was serving myself. I wasn't. I wasn't in control. I couldn't give up these things until somebody came and paid the biggest transfer fee. Blow Gareth Bale or Cristiano Ronaldo. This Jesus Christ paid the biggest transfer fee that there could possibly be. And therefore we were transferred, or translated, the Bible calls it, from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of God's dear Son. We were brought back from abusive slavery like the children of Israel. And that is why Jesus was sent in the first place, to seek and to save that which was lost. He didn't come for the righteous. He didn't come for the healthy. He came to seek and to save that which was lost. And that was God's intention from the very beginning. And that's why Peter in this passage calls us to a radically different way of life from the way people normally behave. And the way it works is through straight thinking. And that's why I underlined that thinking. You see, we have to be transformed by the renewing of our minds with the washing of water of the Word. And see, that's why it's all about thinking. The way it works is through straight thinking. You see, as a man thinks, is the way he's going to live his life. As a man thinks. And that's why I believe with all of my heart, you know, the Shema that the children of Israel to this day still repeat every morning. "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. And you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your strength," or all your might. But you know, when Jesus quoted that in the New Testament, he added something to it. He said, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind and all your might." And he added that. You look it up. And that's why he's saying that, because now there's a new covenant. The new covenant, he says, "And in that day I'll make a new covenant with them, and I will write my laws on their minds and in their hearts, and on their minds. That's why the mind is so important. The mind is probably the greatest battlefield that we have. There's all sorts. There's the battle in the heavenlies. There's the battle in the mind. I tell you, there's the battle in the church. But you know, the one that we grapple with more and more is the battle in our mind. You see, you've got to change your thinking. You're the bowl, bought in the shop, and now cleaned up and put to quite a new use. I'm not bound to drinking and smoking anymore, and swearing and blasphemy. I'm not bound to that anymore. I've got a new use, a far greater use than sitting in a corner filled with soil and a few dusty plants. I'm an ambassador of Christ. I'm an agent of omnipotence. I'm an agent of God's kingdom. Does that make me great? No. But the one who bought me is great. You see, at the end of the day, we're only of as much value as people put upon us. I mean, I've been in the Louvre and seen the Mona Lisa. What a tatty little painting that is. But a lot of people think it's fantastic. That's why it's worth millions. I wouldn't give you 3 halfpence for it, personally. There's far better ones I've seen. But anyway, but it's how, it's the value that you put on something. And God has placed such a value on us that he was prepared to pay the precious blood of a Passover lamb, our Paschal lamb. It's not just a four-legged dumb creature, but this was the Son of God, came to redeem us. So remind yourself of that, and don't let any previous owners come and try and force you back into the use you once had. So many Christians today struggle with temptations to go back and do some of the things that fed their lives. Pornography, smoking, drinking, partying, all sorts of stuff, gossiping, anger. We're tempted to go back to that stuff. Don't do it. Remind yourself, actually, I'm a vessel of honor now. And the vessel of honor, like that bowl that was there to show off those 3 beautiful ornamental eggs, that it wasn't about the bowl, it was about what was in the bowl. It ain't about you, it's about what's in you. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. Remind yourself, and don't let any previous owners come and try and force you back into the use you once had. That means holiness, being set apart for God in every part and at every level, especially in the light of verses 13 and 17. Thinking again. Right at the beginning of the chapter, it talks about the Old Testament prophets that looked in. They were seers. They were people that saw into the future before the new covenant was ever ratified through the shed blood of Jesus. It says that these Old Testament prophets, and they were kind of people that stood on the borders between heaven and earth. It's like they stood on right where heaven and earth met, between our present time and God's future time. I feel like that myself. More and more, day by day, as I pray every morning, I'm not praying for little things anymore. I see a world in such turmoil. I look at Iraq, I look at Syria, I look at Egypt, at Libya, I look at what's happening in the Ukraine, Kazakhstan, North Korea, China, India. I see all over the world, I see stuff. And somehow I'm standing on this border because I can see all this, but I can also see a new heavens and a new earth wherein righteousness and justice dwells. I feel like one of those prophets. The only thing is, I'm not actually got one foot in either camp. I'm all in God's time because the kingdom of heaven has arrived. It's here. It's now. Yes, there's a not yet aspect to it, but I'm standing in it right now and I'm looking over the border and seeing what's going on today. And I'm saying, hallelujah, come Lord Jesus. But then I can't say that with tremendous commitment because in a way I'm saying, Lord, if you come back now, millions will be lost. And that's why God is waiting. He wants to see the harvest come in. And that's why, for those of you that know me, I'm very boring. I'm always talking about the fact that God has called each and every one of us to make disciples who will make disciples who will make disciples. Because that way, the yeast of God's kingdom will permeate the whole batch. And that's why I'm having to challenge myself. Am I doing what I'm preaching? See, God promised something. And these Old Testament prophets, they could discern the shape of God's plan to rescue the world through the sufferings of his chosen one, the Messiah, and then to establish the Messiah in glory, that is, as the sovereign over the whole world. The kingdoms of this world shall become the kingdom of our God. The knowledge of the glory of the Lord shall cover the earth as the waters cover the sea. And the fact of the matter is, most Christians don't even go there. All they're concerned about is, am I going to go to heaven when I die? Friends, it isn't about that. It's about living in the kingdom now as vessels of honor and agents of omnipotence and ambassadors of Christ. Your citizenship may well be in heaven, but we have to live in this world representing Christ and bringing the good news of his kingdom to a lost and dying world. God promised to give this grace, this generous favor to you, and he's done it. He has made you a vessel of honor already. He's also promised to complete this work with a further wonderful gift of grace when the thin curtain is drawn back and Jesus is revealed. You see, unlike many people, I don't believe in the second coming. I believe he's never gone away in the first place. For he said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. The only problem we've got is that we just don't see him right now. I might be a bit science fiction, but I believe that heaven and earth are like parallel universes. I believe that the veil can be drawn back and that we can actually see into that and it can come into our time. That's what angels do. And I believe Christ is here. I believe that. I can't see him. One day I will. It's called the glorious appearing, when he will show up and he will take control. And he will call to himself all those that belong to him. The prophets knew this much. You know, as God spoke to me through this passage of scripture, I turned in my little, I've got this thought for today that I have by Oswald Chambers. I mean, it's just so, some of it's so deep, I can't even understand it. But this one was bang on the money because it was just after I'd read this passage. And this is what he says. And the funny thing was, I just read this. The funny thing was, I was meant to read the 15th of whatever it was, the month. I think it might have been 15th of July. But I've turned to the wrong page and got the 17th for some reason, but this was just right, just what I needed. Because Oswald Chambers says this, the vessels in a household have their honour from the use made of them by the head of the house. As a worker, I have to separate myself for one purpose, for Jesus Christ to use me for what he likes. We're here for one thing only, to be vessels useful for the Master. So many of us, you see, think it's all about us, that God's there for us to fulfill my dreams, to fulfill my ambitions. Friends, we need to repent of that kind of thinking. We're not here to work for God because we have chosen to do so. I didn't choose to work for God. He chose me because God apprehended me. And God has apprehended you for a purpose. Natural ability has nothing to do with service. I want to tell you, I failed my 11 plus. All the kids are rejoicing over their GCSE results. I didn't rejoice over mine, I can tell you. Natural ability has nothing to do with service. Consequently, there is never any thought of, oh, well, maybe this is not my ministry. Maybe I'm not fitted for this. The question is this. Is he going to help himself to your life? Is he? Or are you taken up with your own conception of what you're going to do? God is responsible for our lives, and the one great keynote is reckless reliance on him. Anyway, I'm going to finish off. So all I'm going to say is what matters now is to keep our eyes fixed firmly on the one who brought us back, who bought us back with his precious blood. The one who's cleaned us up. The one who's already begun to put us to new use. That's what it means, as Peter says at the end, for us to believe in the God who raised Jesus from the dead and gave him glory. Placing him in authority over all things. That's what it means in the present time to have faith and hope in God. It's not about believing that God will fulfill my dreams and my ambitions. I love that Robin Mark song from the revival in Belfast. He says, all of my ambitions, hopes and plans, I surrender them. Amen. And that's what it's all about. But I want to leave you with that thought. Two things, really. Firstly, you've been bought with a price. You're no longer your own. You belong to somebody else. You don't belong to the devil. You don't belong to yourself. You belong to Christ. And he has called you. And he looks at you and says, you are a vessel of honor. If you're in Christ, if you've been cleansed with the precious blood of Jesus Christ and your image is restored, then. But the thing is now is to live up to that which we've been called into. It's one thing, isn't it, for Gareth Bale to be the most expensive footballer in the world at 80 million. It's one thing for him to be bought for 80 million. It's another thing for him to perform on the pitch. We've been bought with the highest transfer fee ever. Are we going to live up to it? That's the question.